Blog Talk Radio.
Most people take out the trash, they don't bring it home. But you'd rather be cheap and dirty and spend one night alone. You laid some woman down where I lay my head. Now I don't want to wash the sheets, I want to burn the bed. Did you make out on the couch in our family room? After you made love, did you dab on a little of my perfume?
Welcome to another edition of What Days with Murph. On the show today, we have a super talented singer-songwriter, Candy Carpenter, joining us. We'll talk with Candy about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. So let's get this thing started, shall we? And bring on the incredibly talented Miss Candy Carpenter to the show. Hey, Candy, how are you?
Hi, Cody. I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. As I was telling you off air, I appreciate you doing this today.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to have the opportunity to talk with wonderful people like you and get to share some of what I've been working on.
I like to start out every interview with the same two questions. They're not really questions, more like a kind of introductory stuff. Just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into music in the first place.
Well, absolutely. I moved to Nashville when I was just 15 and started coming down here when I was just a very little girl, actually. I signed with my first producer when I was 11, and actually crashed a Vince Gill concert that same year and wrote "Can I Yodel for You" on the back of a ticket stub. And I took it up to the stage and I kept waving it at him over and over again, and the security guards would tell me to go back to my seat. And then eventually, you know, Vince is such an incredible person and an amazing performer, and such a mentor to so many artists, that he took that ticket stub for me and he read it and he said, "Get that girl up here." And so the same security guards that had been telling me to go back to my seat picked me up and put me on the stage. And that was the first time I performed for a crowd that size. It was probably about 10 to 15,000 people. and I was wearing an orange fleece hoodie and a pair of high water bell bottom jeans. And I have lots of embarrassing pictures to prove it. But I started playing the honky tonks and the dives in Nashville until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and living in a rundown hotel room in downtown Nashville. And I didn't go to traditional high school for more than just a year. I got my education singing in Tootsie's Orchid Lounge and the stage on Broadway. And then when I was around 16, I do too. I had the opportunity to join Jack Green of the Grand Ole Opry on tour as part of the Jack Green Show and tour with a lot of other incredible legendary acts like Porter Wagoner and Little Jimmy Dickens and perform with artists like Loretta Lynn and Vince again as an adult. But I really treasure those experiences that I had learning from my heroes and spending nearly every weekend, if we weren't on the road touring, backstage at the Grand Ole Opry watching my heroes and learning from them. And those are experiences I wouldn't trade for the world.
That's awesome. You know, for me, being the huge music fan that I am, I go to Nashville every single chance I get. I actually have a family that lives right outside of the city. So anytime I can get to know, I go to Nashville, I'm there.
There's a lot of fun stuff to do here, and boy, a lot of great food.
Oh yes, I agree to that. If there's one thing I can say about Southerners, it's we love to eat.
I can't get enough cornbread, hot chicken. Have you had the hot chicken in Nashville?
Surprisingly, I have not.
Oh no, I've got to get you down here and take you to Prince's.
Alrighty. Next time I'm down, I'm looking you up next time I'm down.
All right, it's a plan.
Alrighty. I wanted to talk about something. I was on your website, just kind of researching for this interview, and there's a quote that you said that actually scares me. To be completely honest with you, it scares me.
I'm not scary.
It says, I write my best songs when men piss me off. That's kind of interesting.
Well, now, haven't you ever been through a bad relationship?
Oh, trust me. We don't want to get into that. Let's not get into that.
No, it's not all guys. It's just a couple of them. And,
right,
and
I understand.
Yeah, I have a wonderful boyfriend now. He's fantastic. But I haven't written any songs about him. Probably because he's so nice to me all the time. But
good man.
Yeah, you know, I have written a lot of the songs for this particular album that's getting ready to come out about a couple of certain relationships that I went through that didn't end well. And it's, you know, relationships and real life are what I use to draw experiences from my songwriting. I like to write songs that are 100% authentic and also songs that people can relate to, you know, experiences that I've shared with other people, because I make music for my fans, and I want, you know, the songs that I sing to be something that everybody can relate to. So that's why when you listen to one of my records, all the stories that I'm telling in my songs are true.
Right. And I know you mentioned a record coming out. Is there a release date for that yet, or is that still in the works?
There's no release date just yet, but I'm very excited about the next single that'll be coming out. It's a surprise. And actually, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be filming an EPK. So it'll give everybody a little bit of a taste of what's coming next and of what my live show will look like.
That's awesome. You know, and I'll probably mention this again at the end of the interview, but if you ever need anything from me, like a promotion or anything, don't ever hesitate to reach out, okay?
Oh, thank you. Absolutely.
I'll be more than happy to promote you on the show, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything. Because
thank you very much, Cody.
Because I feel like if y'all give this show 30 minutes of your time, it's definitely the least I can do, you know?
Well, this is my favorite part of being an artist is having the opportunity to connect with people. People are what it's all about, and I love getting to meet fans and make new friends on the road.
That's awesome. I did kind of have a fun get to know you question. If you're up for it.
Sure.
Oh, well, first of all, I'm kind of embarrassed saying this, but you were in Memphis this past weekend at your Graceland, weren't you?
I was in Memphis. It was so much fun. I took a bunch of pictures.
Being a born and raised Tennessean who lives not far from Memphis, I've never been to Graceland. In 30 years, I've never been to Graceland.
Now we got to get you to Graceland.
I've never been. It's kind of embarrassing and pitiful, I know, but whatever.
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm going to throw a little bit of a scenario at you right now, okay? You're stranded on a desert island and can only take 3 items with you. What are you taking?
Can I bring my cell phone?
It's anything. I mean, whatever you can think of.
Okay. Well, I'd have to have my cat with me. Her name is Bella, and for one thing, I just don't think she could survive without me. She needs. Oh no! If I brought her though, then I'd have to bring all of her treats and her toys and her food, and then I wouldn't. That'd be it. It would just be the cat and the treats and the food. So, all right then. I guess I'd bring my guitar for sure. I'd definitely bring a big supply of food of some kind, and I'd bring a life raft so I could get the heck off of there.
Smart girl. I love asking this next question because the answer is very rarely ever the same. What kind of music are you listening to right now? Like, what are you into music-wise?
Oh, my gosh. I am such a music fan. Actually, while we were in Memphis, we really did a lot of bar hopping. Sober bar hopping all over Beale Street, listening to really incredible blues bands. And I've gotten into Howlin' Wolf lately,
mm-hmm.
and Muddy Waters,
mm-hmm.
and Lightnin' Hopkins, and some of the great blues singers. I also love traditional country music. I'm just a diehard Dolly Parton fan, Loretta Lynn, the Patsies, Klein and Montana, and the classics never get old for me. In terms of new singers, I'm pretty obsessed with Chris Stapleton. He is incredible. What a
me
voice.
Me both.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. I could listen to him sing the phone book, couldn't you?
Absolutely. You know, and
mm-hmm.
and there's another singer that I'm just so high on right now. It's Kelsea Ballerini. Love Kelsea's voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's so sweet. And what a talent she is. Absolutely.
She is. I agree completely.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
I want to talk about a little bit about a burn the bed just a second. My now former co-host and best friend turned me on to this song.
Oh.
And actually, she's the one that asked me to book you for the show. So,
oh my gosh.
This is just an amazing song. Of course, we played it at the top of the show, and I love it. I can't wait for the record.
Thank you. I'm very excited to release really my first full-length studio album. I've had some records that previous management, you know, has put out for just product at shows, but I've never gotten to go into the studio and really craft an album for a record label. And right now I'm recording for Sony, which is a dream come true for me, to have Doug Morris discover me in New York City, and then, you know, have the opportunity to work with Sony Nashville is really exciting. And Shane McAnally produced the first single for me, and I'm actually working with Chuck Ainley on the rest of the record. And Chuck and I are having a great time. I really can't wait for you to hear what's coming next.
I wanted to tell you this, too. You are our first major label artist we've ever had on the show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
Very first major label artist. And if I'm being completely honest, when I found this out, I was nervous.
Oh, no. Don't ever be nervous around me. Tell you what. let me tell you a story. And this is why you never need to be nervous around me. I went to the head of creative for me. Her name is Truly Alvarenga, and she's one of my very best friends. And I went to her birthday party the other night, okay? And I had on this really beautiful coat that she made for me. And I sat at the party for a while, and I went to take my coat off, and I realized that the coat hanger was still in the jacket. So I'd been walking around the party with a hanger sticking up out of the back of my outfit like a weirdo.
Wow.
And I didn't notice it, Cody, for like an hour. It was in there. So don't ever let me make you nervous. I can't even get dressed in the morning.
That's funny. That is funny.
Thank you. You're too kind to me. It's really sad.
That's funny, actually. I kind of wanted to switch gears here, and something I found really interesting was you actually worked for Little Jimmy Dickens for a little while.
I was his housekeeper for about a year. Yes.
What was that experience like? I mean, a Little Jimmy Dickens. It's Little Jimmy Dickens for crying out loud, you know?
Well, I love Jimmy, and I miss him, and he was a great supporter, a wonderful entertainer, so gracious. I mean, the reason he was so loved is because he genuinely loved his fans, and that's something, you know, that he taught me and that Jack taught me, and that, you know, these Opry legends that I had the chance to work with really tried to instill in me, is that loving your fans is the most important job that you have, because you would be nothing without the people who support you. And I wake up to that mantra every day. I'm nothing without the people that support me, and I'm grateful for them. And Jimmy, oh my gosh, he was so hilarious. I mean, he would always take me out to lunch, and he would always pay. And I felt bad about it because, you know, I wanted him to know that I appreciated him, and I wasn't just hanging out with him so I could get, you know, a free chicken sandwich. So I bought him lunch once, and he got so upset with me, and he said, "I will not have it. I'll give them back everything I ate." Now, thankfully, he didn't do that. But once he came upstairs, he changed to go to the Opry, and he had on a bright pink Manuel suit. And he said, "Candy girl, how do I look tonight?" And I said, "Well, Jimmy, I think it takes a real man to wear pink." And later that night, I was driving home listening to the Grand Ole Opry on the radio, and I heard him go, "The little girl that works for me says it takes a real man to wear pink." And I just about drove off the road.
That's great. That's great. I can imagine he was a character to work for, I can imagine.
He was, you know, I remember once he was trying to get this record player. It was a WSM commemorative vinyl record player that they'd given him, and he was trying to get it to run, and he had it plugged into the wall, and he was jamming a screwdriver down into it. And I thought, oh no. Oh my gosh, I was so scared. And I'll be darned if he didn't get it working.
Wow. Somebody in the chat room wanted me to ask what your favorite Dolly Parton song is.
It's got to be Jolene. Absolutely.
My kind of girl. Okay. This is always kind of a fun question. If you could meet anybody or sing a duet with anybody, who would it be and why?
If I could write with anybody?
If you could sing a duet with anybody, male or female.
A duet.
Who would it be and why?
You know, once again, it'd have to be Dolly. My gosh, I'm such a big fan of hers. And actually, we have the same manager. Dolly and I are both managed by Danny Nozell with CTK Management. I've had the opportunity to meet her several times, and she is one of the kindest, sweetest people in the world. And I'm so fortunate to have had the opportunity to get to spend some time with her.
That's awesome. This next question, been asked every single interview I ever do. I always ask this question: if you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
Gosh, that's a great question. And I think, like everybody, there are always days when I wake up and think that there were things that I would do differently. Lots of things, really, you know. But then I look at my songs and what I've written, and I don't know that I'd have the songs that I have if I'd done even just one thing differently. So I guess I'd just keep things the way they are. Maybe, you know what? No, you know, I would have probably worn longer pants when I crashed that Vince Gill concert. I think I was wearing those high water pants. I would have probably wanted to have pants that touched the ground, or at least close to it, you know.
Okay. Okay. This is always fun to ask. Whether it's in your personal life or your professional life, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Well, I got to spend some time with Loretta Lynn at her ranch and at her house. And she talked to me about country storytelling. And she told me not to write any songs that I didn't believe in. And, you know, songwriting is an industry just like anything else. And sometimes I have written songs that, you know, that I didn't live or that I didn't believe completely. And actually, going back to your previous question, I regret that. You know, I regret times that I've made music that I didn't believe in completely. But, you know, from here on out, now that I have, you know, the reins of my career and I'm doing things on my terms, really for the first time in my career, I'm sticking to her advice and I'm making music that I believe.
You know, but you know, and along those same lines, I think country music, out of pretty much any genre in the entertainment industry, is the most real music out there. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, Jack Green used to say that country music was stories of life, and I believe that's true.
Right, I agree. And another thing I found, because I've been doing this radio show for about 5 years. I started it in 2012, and I actually started talking to country artists about 2014 or so. And another thing I found about country, which I just really love, is from the fans to the artists and the insiders, it's all just one big family, you know?
Absolutely. It really is. Especially backstage at the Grand Ole Opry. Really does feel like family there.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if there's anything else that I have for you. One more question or so that I've got for you.
Sure.
And I know you grew up playing the Nashville honky tonks and stuff. What's your favorite? What's your favorite venue to play in Nashville?
Oh gosh, well, I sure do play in my living room a lot. Every day, actually. gosh, you know, I feel bad picking favorites because I love them all for different reasons. There are some that are historic and you know, really fun to play because there's a lot of music history within the walls. But then there are a lot of great new venues that just have state-of-the-art sound systems, and there's nothing better than being able to hear yourself when you're playing live, I'll tell you what.
Right.
I think, I believe it or not, even though I spent years backstage at the Opry, I've never played the Grand Ole Opry stage. I've walked out onto it with Jack, and I've actually performed with him when there was no audience on the stage, but I've never gotten to do a show at the Grand Ole Opry. And that is my biggest dream. And I think that when I finally get to play the Ryman Auditorium, that will be my favorite venue.
Okay. That's cool. As I said earlier, I love Nashville. It's my favorite city in the world. But there are two venues I always go to whenever I'm in Nashville. There's two places. One is called The Listening Room.
I
don't know if you've ever heard of that. And another one is The Row.
The Row has one of the best hot chicken sandwiches I have ever eaten.
You know,
you've got to try that sometime.
I've actually met a former radio show guest who have performed at The Row. So that's one of my favorite places to go in Nashville, The Row and the Listening Room.
I love The Listening Room. I'm playing there with the Song Suffragettes next month. I think
we don't have
a date yet. My manager's booking it right now, but it'll, I think, be around the week of the 20th.
Okay. And I'll be in Nashville actually quite a lot over the next 3 or 4 months. I'll be in Nashville quite a lot because I have a dream of seeing all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums.
Awesome.
And of course, the closest airport to where I live is Nashville, and so I fly out of there. So I'll be in Nashville in May, and then again in September. So.
Well, I hope I get the chance to meet you when you come down.
If you're playing, I don't care where it is, I'm there.
Awesome. Well, I will see you there then.
Alrighty. I think that's probably all I've got for you. But before I let you go, I just wanted to say it's been such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Cody. And if y'all don't mind, please follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Candy Carpenter, and that's Candy with an I. It's like a little guy that builds gingerbread houses, a candy carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also look me up on candycarpenter.com.
And,
that's my go-to joke.
Another thing. I love the term that you coined for your fans, Candyland. I love that. That's just great.
Well, everybody always, my best friends always make fun of me when I do something like the coat hanger and the jacket thing, and they say I'm in Candyland again. And I thought, well, I guess we could all hang out there together, because it's a place where it's okay to be crazy and silly,
right.
and walk around with a coat hanger in your jacket.
Right. Again, you know what? I have a ton of respect for you and what you do. I kind of followed your career pretty much ever since Tim told me about running the bed and just reading your story. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. God has been very good to me and helped me get through a lot. And I just want to help encourage people and show people that no matter what happens to you in life, you're going to be okay. And there's hope for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Before we do go, though, I thank your manager for setting this up for us.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'll tell him that that you said that. He'll appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
All right, and I'm gonna issue him an email too, thanking him.
Oh, thank you. Oh, he's a really nice guy, and he'll appreciate that.
Yeah, he is. Again, I wanted to thank you for taking it up about probably the. Quickest 30 minutes I've ever had in my entire life.
well, thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. And you've got a open invitation back to the show anytime you want to come back on.
Well, thank you. I will look forward to doing that again soon.
All righty. I'll definitely be talking to you on social media, okay?
All right, Cody. Have a great day.
You too, Candy.
Bye, everybody.
All right, bye. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the super talented Miss Candy Carpenter. Candy is just an absolute doll. And that will wrap up our first major label artist on the show. First of hopefully many. I wanted to give y'all a rundown of what's coming. If I can get my my a computer back ride. Okay, let's see. We've got this Friday at 4:30. We have episode 5 of Indie Country Radio. And next Tuesday at 4:30 Central, a guest will make an appearance on the show who we have not had on in 3 years. That seems crazy to say that, but it's been 3 years. That's hard to believe. Brittany Bexton returns to the show next Tuesday. So that's the 7th. And then the 14th, we have, but it's also 4:30 Central, the singer Amanda Jones of Amanda Jones and the Family Band. And February 21st at 4:30 Central, we have a good friend of ours on the show, Miss Alyssa Trahan, stopping by to catch up with us. I think that'll probably do it for announcements. So, with that, I think I'm gonna end the episode right here. You've been listening to A Week Days with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.